want to continue, and we want to talk from or share from Isaiah chapter 62 about being watchmen or watchman of the Lord, being a watchman of the Lord. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 62, and I'm going to read from verse 6 down. But before I read, I want to just invite the Lord's presence to teach us, to guide us, to give us insights and revelation. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your presence that has been here with us this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that you have touched our hearts, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have broken off, oh God, some of the fears and anxieties that that have been with us. Lord, we thank you that you have again brought it to our attention that you are here with us no matter what we are going through, that, Lord, you have never left us. You have always held our hands, oh God. You have always kept us close. You have always surrounded us with your presence. And so, Lord, we ask you, God, to continue to minister to us this morning. Lord, we ask you to speak to us even through the ministry of your word, Lord, that your word would come forth and that, Lord, we would see Christ again. Lord, our faith would be built up, oh God, and we, oh God, would leave here edified. We leave here, oh God, with a fresh encounter of you through your word. Lord, may our hearts be good soil, that your word would bring forth fruit in our lives and that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6, the Lord says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. And give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. The watchman is a, for our younger folks, is an old time picture. You know, there used to be back in the day, and people had their businesses, they'd have a watchman there to watch out at night, to protect things. Back in the in Old Testament times, the cities would be walled in and they'd have a watchman on the wall. Normally, the watchman would be by the gate and he would be looking to see what's happening. It's the same concept as when the watchman was there physically. Today, what we have are companies, security companies that watch people's business for them. They do it by, you know, with cameras and stuff. But somebody somewhere still watching. This building is protected and watched by some organization. And every now and again, they would give me a call saying, this alarm is going off. And if you had enough cameras, they could tell you who was around your building. The same idea of the watchman, that the Lord says to his people back there in Isaiah, that he has placed some watchmen on the wall. And these watchmen had a responsibility. And I've tried to outline for us the role of the watchman back then, which I think is the principle, a picture that carries over for us now spiritually. That we have been placed, each one of us, you and me, have been placed as watchmen in different areas of our lives, in different places where we function. That if the first place is to watch over our own personal lives, Peter says that we should be sober and alert because we have an adversary who is like a roaring lion trying to find someone to devour. And so he says, you got to be alert. One of the things the watchman has to be is to be alert so that he can be aware of what's happening. And the enemy knows this, and so he tries to distract the watchman. But before we get to that, so we are supposed to watch our own personal lives. And then if you have a family, if you're a parent, then it comes to the territory that you are called to watch over the lives of your children. And they never get old enough for you to stop watching. That you have been given that responsibility by the Lord to watch over their lives, because the enemy is coming at them and trying to find a way to destroy their lives. And you and I, we have been placed in this position of being a parent to watch and to pray and to war on their behalf. And then along comes grandparents, and your responsibility extends to the grandparents. And I really believe to all of those that the law will bring into your sphere of influence. If you have a job, then God has put you there also to watch and to pray. You are part of this nation, and I believe God has put us there as a church and as individuals to watch and pray over this nation. And so all of us, I believe, have been called to function in some way as a watchman, to watch. And so it's important for us then to understand our role. What is the role of the watchman? Good question. I'm glad you asked. There's a scripture I like in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7 says, "Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the people of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning for me." So the watchman, all of us, we have been appointed by the Lord to certain places. And in Isaiah, he says that we are to remind him, we are to bring some things to him continually. And he says that we should take no rest for ourselves. We don't have the privilege of saying, "I'm tired." If you have a watchman physically and he becomes tired, then the place is vulnerable. He has to be alert, he has to be on guard, he has to be watching, he has to be looking. And so in the same way, you and I were called to be on the alert, 1 Peter, to be alert, to be sober. Because there's someone who's trying to destroy your life. Someone who's trying to break in and to destroy the lives of your children and your grandchildren, of your friends. There's an enemy out there who's trying to find somebody to devour. And God has placed you and me there as people to watch and pray. The Lord says to remind him of his word. Give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. He had some promises for Jerusalem, and he was saying the watchman should continue to remind the Lord of these promises, continue to bring them before him, and to give themselves no rest. That's a strange invitation to have, to be invited by the Lord to give the Lord no rest, because some of us get tired and we think, "Lord, I'm just a bother. Why do I keep coming to you, Lord? I feel like I'm just bothering you." And Lord is like, "No, you're not. I put you as a watchman, and your responsibility is to continually remind me of the promises that I've made. Give yourself no rest." Verse 7 says, "And give him no rest. Continue to remind the Lord of his promises." Persevere. Keep pressing forth. In Ezekiel, there it says that the Lord says, "I've appointed you, Ezekiel, as a watchman to share my word with the people." Sometimes a word is a word of warning. As you're watching over your children and you can see some things on the horizon, I got to share with them, say, "Kiddo, be careful of this. My daughter just got a new job, and I made sure to send her a text saying, you know, be careful that this organization don't end up using you and mistreating you." It's part of my responsibility as a father to watch over them because of my own experiences and experiences of others. To watch and to warn, to encourage. And so I can't afford to become lazy. I can't afford to give myself any rest. And the enemy knows, one of the things the enemy will do, if he knows he's a watchman, is to try and distract that watchman. If I can distract that watchman, then I can get a way in. And so he tries to distract you and me so that he can get a way in into our own lives, into the lives of those for whom we have responsibility. Cause us to become so busy rather than the time to realize what's really happening. And we need to be aware of the strategies of the enemy. That's what he tries to do. I mean, you'd be foolish If you're a thief or somebody wants to break in, to go when the watchman is actually looking. So you try and distract him, make a sound over there, so he goes to look what's happening over there, so you can enter. And so you and I, we need to know the priorities that God has given unto us. So we don't end up going all over the place and not fulfilling our primary responsibilities, which is to watch for those for whom God has given us care. To keep your place on the wall. So we stand before the Lord as watchmen. And as we sang today, we stand there first of all in a place of worship. Because as we worship the Lord, our hearing becomes clearer, our vision becomes clearer. So we stand in that place of worship. The prophets of old all function as watchmen. And Elijah says to Ahab, the God before whom I stand, the God before whom I spend time in his presence, as I spend time in his presence, I can hear what he has to say and I can declare it to God's people. And so we have to stand in that place of worship. We just talked a while ago, Sean shared about the Apostle Paul and Silas as they were in prison, in that place where they could be distracted by their own sorrow, distracted by their own pains. Instead, they entered into that place of worship. And because they entered into that place of worship, the people who were around them experienced freedom and deliverance. They didn't even realize they were in bondage until they experienced the freedom. And so it is many times that even as we are praising God and we realize our own circumstances, as we praise Him, God intervenes, and not only are we free, but people around us experience freedom. It's amazing. So we stand in that place of discernment to be able to see what's really happening. As Apostle Paul was ministering in Acts 14, there was a man there who was lame from his mother's womb, and the Apostle Paul discerned that he had faith to be healed. He saw something and was able to because he saw something, he was watching to see what's happening in the lives of people as he ministered. He was able to call him forth and experience his healing. You stand before the Lord, you stand on the wall in a place of being able to see things from God's perspective. I like this scripture, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 8, the Lord says, "Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." And so as a watchman on the wall, the watchman looks, and the verse before that, he saw someone coming with the good news, saying, "Your God reigns." And because a watchman is standing in a position where he can see what's happening, the Lord says to them there in Isaiah 52, he says, "Lift up your voice together and shout for joy, burst into songs of joy together." In other words, the watchman not only sees when the enemy is doing his little thing, but the watchman also sees when God is about to break through. And so that song that we like to sing, which says that, basically that God has made me a promise, and it's that promise is on the way, it's not going to stop right now. Really, the watchman not only sings that for himself, but can sing that for others. The watchman can come and say, "Bethany, God has made your promise. And you won't stop now. He's about to break through." And you can rejoice, you can burst forth into songs of joy, because you can see that God is about to do something in the lives of some people you're watching over. Amen. That things are about to change. They might feel this discouraged. They might look distressed. But you can come along, you can say, Elisha, you don't have to worry. God is about to intervene. God's about to break through. Things are about to change. Come dance with me, because God's about to do something significant. And that's what the watchman here was saying in Isaiah 52. As he saw the word of the Lord coming, as he heard somebody coming on the horizon, and the person came and said, "Your God reigns." The watchman said, the Lord says, "You need to burst forth into songs of joy. You need to start to rejoice. So when people look on one, why are you rejoicing, Mr. Watchman? And you can tell them, God is about to do something different. God is about to do something new. Things are about to change. So it's not only me, you know, standing on the promises of God, but somebody comes and confirms to me that God is about to intervene. And it makes a world of a difference. When a parent can come to a child and say, son or daughter, God has shown me this, that things are about to change in your circumstance. It builds faith in them. It shouldn't be that all the time we come is a word of warning. We need to hear the word of victory sometimes to declare it. And so the watchman has that responsibility to declare the word of victory and to lead in the procession of rejoicing. Isaiah 52 verse 10 says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. That's what the watchman is declaring as he rejoices in song, as he bursts forth in a dance. So the watchman comes and he declares God's victory. The watchman comes, and as God shows him some stuff, he stands in a place of intercession to continually bring the promises of God before him until they are fulfilled. All the promise is not just for ourselves, you know. That's part of the problem I have here in 21st century America. It's all about me. But as a watchman, he's really watching over some others too. And he can say, Lord, you promised my daughter this. You promised my sons this. You promised my children this. Lord, I'm going to continually bring it before you. Lord, you promised to do these things for my church, in my community. I'm going to continue to bring it before you. Lord, you promised to bring us a revival in this nation. Lord, I'm going to continually bring this promise before you. I'm not going to give you an arrest. You told me not to give you rest. I'm obedient. I don't know how that fits into your concept of faith, but it's an encouragement from the Lord. It says, don't give me an arrest. When the devil comes and says, but didn't you remind God of that yesterday? I say, yes, devil, but he told me to remind him continually until I see the promises being released. I'm going back to Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 8 says, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies. Never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. Those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. In other words, God says he's about to bring about a change. No longer will the enemy be robbing you of the stuff that is rightfully yours. And so the watchman can declare that to his people, that the invasion of the enemy has come to an end. And you're about to receive the things that are rightfully yours. In fact, it goes further than that. Oh, help us. If you read verse 11, it says, the Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. This is what the watchman must say. Say to the daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, as the recompense accompanies him. You know what he's talking about here? A reward is what you get because you've been faithful. And the word of the Lord is that because you've been faithful, I'm coming to reward you. I'm coming to intervene in your life and in your circumstance. The recompense is what you get for the things you have lost. It's making amends for the things you have lost. Where the enemy has robbed you, where the enemy has come in and created havoc. And the Lord is saying, I'm coming, and I'm coming to repay you for the things you have lost and to reward you for your faithfulness. And so, as a watchman, as part of what you have to declare to the people, listen, God is about to change your circumstance. And things may have been difficult. Things may look bleak. But I'm here to let you know that there's good news on the horizon. Oh, help us. There are some promises that God made to Zion that applies to us in many different ways. These are some of the things that the watchman was supposed to remind God's people about. Some of them come in the first five verses that I didn't read before of Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 verse 1 says, "For Zion's sake, for the sake of the people of God, I will not keep silent." Some people want us not to remind people of God, of the promises of God. Why do you have to talk so much about promises? Well, because God says we need to remind the people of his promises. God is faithful to his word, so do not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain silent till her vindication shines out like the dawn, or salvation like a blazing torch. Till people start to see the intervention of God in a very clear and obvious way. Verse 2, the nations will see your vindication and all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. In other words, when God calls you by a new name, he's changing your identity and your destiny. Things are changing because of his faithfulness. He comes with his reward, and he comes to recompense. He comes to bring about a change. And the world is going to see and realize that these are people who are not forsaken. These are people whose God is in their midst and is working miraculously. The supernatural is being released. I like verse 3. It says, "You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God." In other words, God is going to have us in his hand, and he's going to make us to be a crown of splendor. A crown, something that is glorious, something that sits in authority, something that the world looks on and they can see that God has done this thing of his people, putting them in places of leadership, putting them in places of authority. But he also calls them a royal diadem because we are people of royalty. Something that only royalty wears. And God is doing this work in us, transforming us and changing us so the world can see the beauty of God in us and through us, the power of God in us and through us, the authority of God in us and through us. Verse 4, "No longer will you be called deserted." No longer will people say, "Does God really exist?" Look at them just singing songs, helping themselves psychologically. Does God really exist? "No longer will they be called deserted or name your land desolate. But you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah." What Hephzibah means, the Lord tells us. He says, "The Lord takes delight in you, and your land will be married." In other words, you will be called the ones for that God takes delight in. How many of you know that that's already been fulfilled right here and now? Now, we are not called forsaken. We are not called forgotten. We are not called desolate. But we are called the ones for whom God delights in. God delights in you, and God delights in me. He shows his favor in your life and in my life. And when you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords delights in you, it sets you free. Yeah. Others might not delight in you, but you know that the King of Kings does. And he rejoices over you with singing. He rejoices over you with joy. And it makes a world of a difference how you live your life, or you go into your day-to-day activities. It says, "As a young man marries a young woman, so your builder, your God, marries you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God rejoices over you." That's the type of rejoicing that God has over us. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so God is rejoicing over you and over me. He takes delight in us. So some of us have been brought up with this idea that God really just tolerating us. That he doesn't really like us, but you know, since Jesus died, he has to tolerate us. And he's just waiting for you to slip up so he can knock you over the head. I mean, we might not articulate it that way, but somewhere deep inside of many of us, that's how we live our lives. It's hard for us to accept that God actually likes you. That God actually delights in us. It's hard for us to accept because we look at ourselves and we see all of our failings, we see all of our weaknesses, and people around you remind you of some of them. And so it's hard for us to realize that, you know, despite all of that, God still delights in you. God loves you. He likes your presence. That's why he comes when you worship him. He likes our presence. If that can sink deep into our own spirits, it makes a difference when the enemy comes to us and says, you're worthless. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords delight in you and delight in me. And so we know in turn need to remind each other that listen, God likes you. God delights in you. When you fail and you mess up, somebody needs to come along and say, forget about that. God still loves you. God still likes you. God is still at work in your life. He's going to turn even this mess around for good because he likes you. It sets you free. You don't even need anybody else around to be your cheerleader because God is cheering for you. He's on your side. That's what Paul says. If God is what? For us. He didn't say if God stands aside impartially and looks on. He didn't say that. He said if God is for you, who can be against you? And Joe Campbell's version says, I don't care who's against you. God is for you. Amen. If God is for me, then anybody who's against me is an enemy of God, so God will deal with them. And so we have to remind ourselves of these things as watchmen. We have to remind others of these things when you see the enemy coming in and trying to turn them around and spin them up and down and cause confusion in their lives. You as a watchman need to come and declare God's word and don't be silent. God delights in you. God likes you. That's what the next verse says. That's why I posted watchmen to remind them of these promises. Your land, Beulah, means married. In other words, God is going to... The land in those days was the place where you got all of your resources. That's how your needs were met, was through the land. And so for us today, when he talks about land, he's talking about the fact that God will take care of you. God will take care of all of your needs. It's not talking about when you get to heaven. That's already taken care of. So here we sing songs about, you know, going to heaven, Beulah land. But the reality is that my Beulah is right here and now. And God is taking care of his people. Oh, help us. Just a few more things. You know, chapter 62 logically follows chapter 61. And so when you go back into chapter 61, some of the things we mentioned in some of the previous times are some of the promises that God has for his people, promises of restoration. So going back then to Isaiah 61, verse 4, which we read sometime in the past, it says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I'm ashamed about this, that God is raising us up so that we can restore the things that have been taken away. The things that even the society has taken away, the things that the enemy has taken away from our society, that God is raising up his church, you and me, to restore those ancient ruins. And our children will be some of those that will help to establish these things. And so when we're praying for our children, we remind the Lord of his promises. Verse 6, you will be called priests of the Lord. Yes, it's already fulfilled. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and their riches. In their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, I think there must be an error in my Bible. God, it sounds too good to be true. It says, instead of their shame, who my people will receive a double portion. He's coming with his reward and his recompense. That's what it says. And so as a watchman, I'm here to declare to you, he's coming with his reward and his recompense, and he's going to give you a double for your trouble. Double for all the shame, all the times when the enemy came into your life and create havoc and tried to disgrace you. God is saying, I'm coming and I'm going to restore and I'm going to give you a double for all of that. And he's not talking about when you get to heaven. He's talking about here and now. He says, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. I'm glad the way Isaiah write this. They receive a double portion. We're in their land, here and now. Now, if you want to wait till they get to heaven, that's up to you. But I want it here and now. And so when I'm reminding God of his promises, I'm reminding him of what he says in his word. I'm not making things up. I'm saying, Lord, you said you'll give me double for all of the shame, double for all of the enemy, the chaos he created in my life. You said you'll do that. So, Lord, I'm reminding you of your promise, and I'm not going to give you an arrest until I see the double being released into my circumstance. And you see, and you pray the same thing for your children. Lord, you said you'd give them double for all of the stuff that the enemy did in their lives. Lord, I'm here as a watchman over my children to remind you of your promise to restore the double for all that they've been through. Hallelujah. And Lord, you said not to give you an arrest, so I'm not going to give you an arrest until I see it.
Amen.
Wow. You didn't know that was in my Bible, right? It's in your Bible too. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. Very clear. In my faithfulness, I reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. That covenant was established in Jesus Christ. The covenant is already there. And if you know anything about covenant, you know that when God makes a covenant, he's going to keep his end of the covenant. A covenant is built upon promises and faithfulness. It's based upon relationship. And then it says in verse 9, their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. That's your descendants and my descendants. They'll be known among the nations. God is raising them up and placing them in places of authority and significance. And the way they function and the way they live their lives, when the people look on, all they can say is that they are blessed of God. They might not use that term. They might just say, they're so lucky. Oh, they're so lucky. And you can look at it and say, no, they're not lucky. They're just blessed of God. Because I've been reminding God of his promises and not giving him any rest until I see his promises being fulfilled. So you can see then the significance and the importance of you and me functioning as watchmen. Watching over the promises of God. Watching over the word of God. Even God does it himself. He says, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that for which I sent it. He said to Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to fulfill it. And so if God says something, and he says in Isaiah 55, I'm going to bring my word to pass, then it's my responsibility to keep reminding him of it. And to keep looking for it to be fulfilled. I'm going to ask Sean just to come on back. Isaiah 62, verse 10. I skipped this verse because I want to come back to it. The Lord says here in verse 10, pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. In other words, it says it there, start to prepare. Start to expect the intervention of God. Start to expect God to fulfill his promises. And when God repeats something, it really is a way of emphasizing stuff. It's almost as if you can see God as a preacher preaching and saying, pass through, pass through. Build up, build up. Prepare the way. Remove every obstacle to my promises being fulfilled. Expect it. Anticipate it. Live your life expecting to see the breakthrough of God, expecting to see the reward of God, expecting to see the recompense of God. Raise up a banner for the nations to see that you serve God and you're not ashamed to be a child of God. Oh, help us. The Lord promised us in Isaiah 53, another promise we have already spoken about, that all your children, Isaiah 54 verse 13, all your children will be taught by the Lord and great will be their peace. Remind God of those promises until all your children are walking with the Lord. Until all your children experiencing the peace of God. Pray over your own lives, as Peter says. Be on the alert and of sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Let's stand. So as a watchman, we have been sent to speak God's word. To warn people of what the enemy is up to, warn people of God's judgment, but also to declare the fact that God is about to intervene and change circumstances. That things are about to change, that your children are about to come into the promises of God. As a watchman, I'm there to keep praying and to give myself no rest, to remind God of his promises. To say, Lord, you said this. Lord, you declared this. Lord, you said you'd give double for all of my shame. Double for their, you restore to them double for all the shame the enemy brought into their life and in their circumstance. Lord, I'm reminding you of your word. Lord, I'm going to persevere until I see a change. Lord, you said all of my children be taught by the Lord. I'm going to persevere until all of them are taught by the Lord and live in the light of your glory. I'm not going to be distracted by the enemy. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to keep standing in his presence to hear his voice, to declare the truth of his word. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to decree it and proclaim it until it comes to pass. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house. Maybe you have walked away from the Lord. You have become lukewarm in your relationship with the Lord. And this morning you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to just recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that need to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? And maybe some of you have become weary in bringing before the Lord certain situations. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, would someone pray for me that God would strengthen me this morning? Just raise your hand right where you're standing. You become weary as you've been crying out to the Lord. Let me pray with her over there. Anybody else? We want to help to lift up your hand, just as how Moses had the sons of his sons did to lift up his hands as he stood there before the Amalekites in the battle. Sometimes your hand become weary. And for somebody to come and help you to keep your hand up before the Lord. Anybody else? thankful that God is no man's debtor. If you've been faithful in serving him, he's no man's debtor. He says, if you give to the poor, you're lending to him. He's going to come through for you. He's no man's debtor. He'll reward you and me for our faithfulness. But he'll also recompense us for the things that the enemy came and stole from us. Every situation, he'll recompense us. And not just one for one, but at least double for your troubles. So that indeed we can burst forth into joy. Indeed we can start to rejoice. Because our God is faithful to his word. It's not what Joe Campbell says, it's what the Bible says. You can take it and live your life on it. Build your life on it. That you are a faithful God. Lord, you have met all of our needs and more. Lord, we thank you, God, you have shown your faithfulness every day to us. Lord, even by the very mercies you have given unto us. Lord, we thank you, God, for the invitation to remind you of your promises, to give you no rest until you establish Jerusalem, until you establish us, O God, as your people, until your promises are fulfilled in our lives and our circumstances. Lord, we thank you, God, you have placed different ones of us in different areas, O God, to watch, to be alert, to intercede, to stand in the gap, Lord God, to rebuke the enemy, O Father, and to declare your promises until they are fulfilled. Lord, you have invited us, O God, to burst forth into joy because our Savior reigns. Now we thank you, God, that Jesus comes with reward and recompense. And so, Father, we delight ourselves in our God. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we lift you up on high. And Lord, as we leave here, Lord, I pray that we might leave here again affirming the fact that you are a victorious people. Affirming the fact that you are a victorious God. Affirming the fact that you are God who actually delights in us, your people. That, Lord, you call us the people in whom you delight, that you rejoice over us. Father, I pray, O God, that the lies that we have believed in the past, O God, will give way to the truth, O God, that in fact, that you do like us. That, Lord, the same declaration he made over Jesus, that he's your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased, O God, we might realize you're saying the same thing to each one of us. That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, we stand, O God, before you as people with whom you are pleased. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to try and earn your pleasure anymore because it's already been satisfied by the blood of Jesus Christ. That, Father, you rejoice, O God, when we turn to you. You rejoice when we turn away from our sin. Lord, you rejoice, O God, when we live a life of obedience to you. And so, Lord, help us. Help us, O God, to embrace your delight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now we pray, O God, for our outreach coming up this week, O God, this Thursday. That, Father God, we might indeed be able to share your delight with others who don't know you. That, Father, we might indeed be able to share your love with those, O God, who are outside of your family. That, Father God, we might see some lives being changed this Thursday night because we have been bold enough to take a step outside of these four walls. Father, bring people to us, O God, that you have already been dealing with. That we, O God, can just confirm, O God, your action, your hand in their life and in their circumstance. And so, Lord, we set a rebuke against every work of darkness. And, Lord, we declare victory is ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen.